Hello and welcome to the Empowered by Claudia podcast, where we explore all things self-improvement and you will discover tools, tips and tricks to empower you to transform your life. I'm Claudia, your host, a nurse, empowerment coach, fear of success instructor and your mentor on your self-development journey. I knew firsthand how confusing and overwhelming this journey can be, so I created this podcast to support you so you don't feel alone. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered by Claudia podcast. I'm sorry that this week's recording is a little bit late. I can't even remember what happened now. that was it. So, I've mentioned it before, but I think it's just part of motherhood is that I feel really scatty, whether it's my self-diagnosed ADHD or what, I don't know. But basically, this Wednesday morning, I had to go and see my osteopath, and I don't normally. So normally on Wednesdays, I work on my business, and so we don't really leave the house very much. But this Wednesday I did, and we're now down to one car because my car died. So Ed gave me a lift to my missus, and then I had to walk to the train station, get a train, then a bus, and I was walking down the road to get home after my ridiculously long journey. I realised that I didn't have a key on me, and Ed was out at his granddad's. And I just burst into tears because I had so much to do. I needed to record 2 masterclasses, this podcast, I had to do some socials. I had so much stuff on my to-do list and I was literally just overwhelmed. I was like, I just can't, I really can't. And I was in tears. And so I went in the back garden in the hope that we had left something open, but no, we'd obviously clearly locked up the house as we left, and I sat in the children's playhouse in the back garden in tears until my lovely friend Susie called me and was like, right, let's sort you out. And so basically managed to stop crying, and I was like, well, clearly this is a sign from the universe that I need to have a rest, because it's going to be hours until he's home. We don't have a key with anybody else that I can go and get from. So I walked into our town and I had lunch and some cake and hot chocolate, and I felt so much better for it. I bought myself a notebook and I took some notes on some of the things that I was thinking about, and actually felt a lot calmer afterwards. I did post a story about it on Instagram. But yeah, in that moment, when I realised there was so many feelings, it was like, oh, why are you so silly? Why have you done that? Like, I can't believe that I've done that. And frustration because I had so much that I needed to do. But ultimately, I'm really exhausted at the moment. And I was really lucky to have the weekend away. I went away for the night with some friends that I've known since university. We've been friends for 21 years. And we don't see each other very often, just life and location, like we don't live near each other. But we did this last year for our 20th anniversary. We went down to Bedford for the night, stayed in a hotel, had a little spa session, went out for a meal, and it was so good. We were like, right, we need to do this again. And I think when we like worked out, it's like, it was just 24 hours, but it was just so nice to spend 24 hours in each other's company. And yes, yeah, so we did that again this weekend, and this time we did an escape room. I've not done one of these before. Ed was making me laugh because he called it escape the room, and it just made me chuckle. I was like, what do you mean escape the room? Anyway, so yeah, so we did this escape room. I was a bit nervous. I was like, oh, I get a bit claustrophobic, I'm not sure I like this. But once I was in there, I was like trying everything, looking under things for clues, and I was absolutely loving it. Sadly, we did not escape, which really played on my friend Tabby's mind. And she then said to us the next morning, she'd looked, there was another session in a different room available, did we want to go back and see if we could redeem ourselves? And I'm not going to lie, we did. But thankfully, this time we had more of a strategy and we escaped with 5 minutes to spare, it did feel really good. So, yeah, so that was really, really, it was lovely. It was lovely to spend time with the girls and chat, and we have really deep conversations. And I think that opportunity of being away and actually just spending that time with each other has really helped continue to develop our relationships as we grow older, and I feel really grateful to have them in our lives. Then on Monday, I had not one but two different hospital appointments in different cities. So I basically left the house at 8:35, dropped Harry at school, and then I didn't get home till almost 5 o'clock. I was exhausted, and then work, and then, so yes, Wednesday, when I couldn't get in the house, I literally just cried because I was just tired and overwhelmed. Now, it kind of gave me some inspiration for today's episode, which is about hope and grief and pain and a doctor. So I have been in chronic pain since 2007. I injured my arm at work caring for a patient, and then various things happened. I had some trauma, and eventually it seemed to spread. So I had this pain in my elbow, I had pain in my shoulders, pain in my back, pain in my hips, pain in my knees. And I was so frustrated. I was 22 when it started, the pain. And it felt, maybe I was 23 actually. But still, you know, I felt too young for this. I was like, how can I be in so much pain? I couldn't do all the things that my friends could do. I was so fatigued. And I kept going and having tests with the doctors. And they were like, we can't find anything wrong. It's not arthritis. It's not this. It's not that. I was so desperate for something to help with this pain. Anyone that's had pain for even a short time can know how consuming and overwhelming it can be, and it can really, really depress you and get you down. I was desperate for a cure. I was like, I want to know what's wrong with me. I want a diagnosis. All of these tests, every time I went to an appointment, I'd get so depressed. Because they'd say, well, we can't find anything that we can help you with. The tests are NAD, which means no abnormality detected. You think, but there's something wrong. I don't understand it. There is something wrong. I'm in agony. Why can't you help? I remember this probably would have been 2009, 2010, going to the rheumatologist, and she said, oh, you know, your scans are fine. You know, there's nothing to explain the pain. And as I was walking back to work through the hospital, a fire alarm went. I stood at these fire doors and I just burst into tears. And this porter, he was so wonderful. He made sure I was okay. And it was just that every time I had this hospital appointment, I'd gear myself up and think, this is the time. This is the time they're going to have something to help me. This is the time someone's going to be able to give me this magic fix. And every time I was let down. And then finally, I got a diagnosis. I think it was in the summer of 2010, of fibromyalgia, which is a diagnosis of exclusion, i.e. they've checked everything else. It's nothing else, so it must be that. So there's not really a specific test, or there wasn't at that time, to say, you know, this is it. This is definitively it. But, you know, it was pretty convincing. They tried all the main culprits and this is what I thought it was. So then I thought, right, well, I'm going to research this. I'm going to have a look and see what I can find about there. And there wasn't much, particularly not in, you know, mid-20 females. It was mainly in older females. Some males. And I found this NHS clinic, this pain clinic in London where I lived at the time. And so I went to my GP and I said, please, 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 can you refer me to this clinic? I don't remember the name of the clinic. I don't remember the name of the doctor. I just remember getting to that clinic, trying so hard not to get my hopes up. I walked into this room and this cheery doctor, I remember he wore a bow tie, which is why I've called him Dr. Bowtie. And he listened and he said, I know this is incredibly rough. I mean, this conversation was a long time ago, so I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But he said to me, he said, I believe that in 5 years' time, you'll be in a much better position. You won't be feeling like this and suffering like this. He gave me hope. Now, I came home from the consultation. He hadn't changed any part of my treatment. He hadn't prescribed me anything. But I felt so much better for hope that here this person was going, trust me, this will get better. There is hope. There is a possibility of change. This is not predetermined for the rest of your life that you will suffer. Spoiler alert, still in chronic pain. However, I honestly think that what he did that day by saying that was absolutely transformative. I've talked about this before in the podcast about this fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. So I was in this pattern of going, you know, I'm in pain every day. It's so awful. And I've got pain here and pain here and pain here. And then everybody, every appointment I went to, everyone was just like, oh no, we can't do anything, can't do anything. And I was in this cycle and he broke that cycle. He helped me open my mind to a growth mindset and think, okay, this is possible. I started group sessions to learn more about fibromyalgia, how my nervous system had rewired itself to respond differently to pain signals. And I met up with other people who had the same diagnosis. And that was really helpful. And one of those ladies is still one of my friends to this date. It was so helpful having other people going through the same things. And like I said, it wasn't this magic fix. It didn't get rid of the pain overnight. But it helped me see that things were possible, that things could change. And I had the power to try things, to experiment, to see, okay, I'm going to try this, see how it works. Not put all my hopes on it, but let's just be curious. Let's think, right, is physio going to help me? I really, for me, my body appreciates heat. So I did hydrotherapy, which where you do physio exercises in a hot pool. And that was really good for my joints, particularly in the winter. And acupuncture didn't really help because the time I had to stay still would then put my back into spasm. But going to an osteopath and having deep tissue massage really did help. So it was that period of time of experimenting, of trying things, of being curious, not putting the expectations on everything to be a miracle cure, and also not getting sucked down every rabbit hole of every person on the internet who's like, well, you need to take this and this will cure all of your ails. And I had totally forgotten about the mindset shifts that I've made in my journey from being in chronic pain since 2007. Where are we now? 17 years. Because it's a way of life. So on a daily basis, I have pain, I have fatigue. But I don't focus on that because when I focus on that, and if I try and go, well, what's my pain out of 10 today? I'm focusing on it where attention grows. Energy flows. We're just putting more energy into that negative emotion, that pain, that suffering, the feeling of lack, of I can't do this, I'm missing out. And actually that, for me, is not a healthy way to live. So I don't deny that I'm in pain. I don't do things that would make my pain worse. But I don't focus on it. I choose to focus on other things. I choose to focus on uplifting other women, of supporting people, of helping them come to terms with whatever it is that's going on in their life. And yes, sometimes I get really frustrated. There are things I can't do. But most of the time, I try not to think about it and think about all the wonderful things in my life instead. part of the thing that I really didn't realise about chronic pain or a big health diagnosis is the grieving process that you go through. You get this diagnosis, and for me, I absolutely loved being an intensive care nurse. Loved it with all my heart. It was where I was meant to be. It's where I shone. I was an excellent intensive care nurse, if I do say so myself. However, it was taking a massive toll on my body. Physically, you know, these patients are sedated, they're completely dependent on you. And, you know, you're constantly having to move them. Sometimes it's like every 2 hours because you don't want to get pressure sores. And that was taking a massive toll on all of my limbs and my back. But also the night shifts. I was really struggling with fatigue and recovering from the night shifts and getting back into a routine. And so it became that I had to think about a different career path, which was really hard for me because I was in the place that I loved, in the career that I loved, and this is where I wanted to be. I didn't want to do anything else. And so there was this process of me kind of going, but it's unfair. It's so unfair. Why am I forced to do this? Why can't I go out for like friends do and then do stuff the next day? Why do I need time to recover? Why me? Why me? Why me? And you can get in this really negative cycle. And actually, you know, I ended up transitioning into a career in medical research. And through that, I got great time with patients. I've got the ability to offer them groundbreaking new treatments and develop those long-term relationships with them as I saw them through their treatment. And I really loved it. And I love being able to make a difference and contribute to medical knowledge. And for me, it was a really great moment to be able to lead that research team in intensive care, knowing that I was contributing to the newest practices, making sure that everything we did was like the best possible standard for our patients. And I loved that. I would have never have pictured that, but it's just how life worked out. And I know this from patients that I've looked after over the years, that the minute that you give up with your mindset, your body doesn't take much longer to follow. And actually, when we have that mindset, I'm going to recover, I'm going to heal, I'm going to survive this, that is half the battle. And yes, you're going to have challenges and days where it's not easy and simple, and it's really, really hard to get up and carry on. But actually, just hope that there is a better future, that there might be a breakthrough around the corner, that things might change. It's that hope that is desperately needed in there. And I remember at one point, I think this must have been like 2013, so I'd had the diagnosis for about 3 years. I'd been in pain since 2007, so 6 years of pain. And I'd moved to Nottingham by this point. And I said, can I be referred to the pain clinic? Because I'm not going to go traipsing back to London. Can I, you know, see the local one? And I got referred to this service and I saw a practitioner. And she said to me, you can't keep relying on things like hydrotherapy and massage and stuff like that. You've got to really find ways to do this for yourself. You really need to focus on like breathing. And I was just like, I don't understand what you mean. Like, I'm just going to breathe my pain away. And it seemed so alien. And I was like, no, I don't agree. I need painkillers. And I think it was the way it was explained to me. It was before I started working on my mindset really as a coach or consciously knowing that. And I couldn't see how, if I was seeing and having physical therapy from someone, how breathing would do the same thing, because to me, my knotted muscles needed to be worked out by somebody with their hands massaging them. And I've listened to a lot of breathwork teachers and stuff, and actually, when you are breathing really shallowly and fast, it brings a lot of tension in, which then can exacerbate all of the tightness in the muscles that I got anyway from the pain. But I have a very logical mind, and if you don't explain things in a certain way. I didn't see it, and it took me a long time to see that. Anyway, the message I want you to take away from today's podcast is the importance of hope, of acknowledging emotions and allowing yourself time to grieve for what you thought it was going to be, life, for what others are doing and you can't. And be kind to yourself and go, actually, this is a really big thing. This is a massive thing to get used to. Curious and experiment with what works for you, because what works for somebody else won't necessarily work for you, and vice versa. And try and focus on other things. Don't deny that you've got whichever diagnosis you do. That's your reality. But we can choose to look forward. We can look forward to this future of hope. Things will be different. And things are different. Now, yes, I still have pain, but I have a full life. I have two wonderful children who, admittedly, when they like to use me as a climbing frame, it's extremely painful. They stop my sleep, which doesn't help the fatigue. But I'm here. I'm doing what I love. I'm helping people. And I'm just so grateful that I didn't give up, because it's so easy to just think, well, what is there? What is the point? Particularly when people who are not necessarily that disability aware just go, well, you look fine. It's an invisible illness. It's hidden. I don't generally talk about my pain, but it's here. It affects my everyday. So if you're struggling for people to recognise what you are going through, there is hope. I think maybe try writing down the impact that it's having on you and maybe sharing that with them if you feel able to. It might be that you get adjustments made, whether that's in your expectations and about pacing and learning what is helpful to you and what isn't. But don't write yourself off. Don't think that this is it for the rest of your life, because you will be able to find some relief. You will be able to find something. I have, like Dr. Botoy, I can't give you any promises, but I can give you hope. And I'm going to leave you with two quotes. The first is from Desmond Tutu. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And the second quote is from Barack Obama. Hope is not blind optimism. It's not ignoring the enormity of the tasks ahead or the roadblocks that stand in our path. It's not sitting on the sidelines or shirking from a fight. Hope is that thing inside of us that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us if we have the courage to reach for it, to work for it, and to fight for it. For all of you who may either be suffering yourself with a disability, a hidden illness, whatever challenges that might be, or that you have someone close to you that is, I just want you to be kind to yourself, be compassionate, try to not compare yourself to other people, be really mindful about what advice you listen to or not, and just keep hoping, keep hope, and focus on all the good things in your life. Sending all my love. See you next week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Empowered by Claudia podcast with me, Claudia, from ClaudiaSabinaWellness.com. If you are ready to transform your life, then get in touch for more information on how I can support you. All of my links of how to contact me are in the show notes or at my website, www.ClaudiaSabinaWellness.com. Thank you.